Yes, I'm there. Hare Krishna, can you all hear me?
Yes, we
Good,
can
good,
perfectly.
good. Thank you very much. It was very nice to see the forest in which Lord Krishna and Sudama persisted and stayed during that monsoon storm, because it makes everything so real. And in the same way, these pastime places which we see in between, yesterday Teh Kadamba, today we started with Govardhan, from the place where we usually give our retreats, from that perspective, and now Airavata Kunda, it makes us feel a little bit, yeah, this is a real place, and the Lord did really do his pastimes there. At least, at the very least, these places, when we visit them, give us some impetus, some inner awakening call. Oh, yes, let me see about Krishna's Leela. I want to now sing a little kirtan with you. Thank you, Bhurijam Prabhu, for your excellent presentation, and revealing so many things, like also the change of perception in Sandipani Muni's mind. I think he was captured at the very first meeting where Krishna Balaram came with firewood into his ashram and begged him to save them from the perils of being in the clutches of birth and death. And then so many pastimes Krishna did, so that Sandipani Muni, as perception changed, his understanding was uplifted. That was one of the many things I personally got out of there. What to speak of the answer why at the beginning Krishna seemed to ignore the poverty of his devotee, but then at the end gave him a very extraordinary medicine to cure his pride and renunciation per se, renunciation without Krishna Bhakti. So yes, very enlightening, and I really encourage you all as the listeners to Bhurijam Prabhu's presentation and the other presentations to go after the presentations, you know, when you have a little free time, to go over them and extract some of the principles and some of the nectar and think about them in your own time, so that the Krishna Katha can continue to echo in your mind and purify you. It's only through reflection, which is done after hearing, that we can somehow bring these pastimes to a deeper place within us, so that one day they become as real and as indistinguishable as the lines in marmor, in marble, in our heart. So yes, let us please sing, just to change the energy a little bit around. You might also like to stand up for a moment, swing back and forth, but I promise you this time it will not be difficult to listen to the last session of Govardhan Leela. There are some very surprising secrets which will come out. So let me also put my clock here at the Yeah, we are ready to start. Let's all together chant the pranam mantras to Prabhupada, and then Namo Vishnu Padaya. You're not participating. I see a few windows. You have to now it's time to practice, no? Once again, Namo Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale. Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve. Gauravani Pacharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavani. Paskatyade Satarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And everybody, one last time, preferably from your heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare to affectionately welcome all of you for the third part of Life Lessons from the Govardhan Leela. Before I start, I would like to again talk a little bit about what we are doing here. We talk about Krishna and we show his pastimes places. Now for the faithful, looking at these places and hearing about Krishna, this acts as a means to increase their faith and perhaps help them to connect with feelings of gratitude towards Krishna, of affection maybe, of wonderment, wow, he's so special. For the faithful, this hearing and then visiting, at least in our mind, these pastime places, this increases our bhakti and hopefully instills some devotional feelings which are necessary to anchor our bhakti so that it will not disappear so quickly. But many of us have not yet faith in Krishna Katha and the pastime places. Everything seems to not go as deep as for some of them. But please take courage. It will work. I remember a few years ago, I was in Vrindavan town and the devotees, knowing that I speak the German tongue, the German language, said, there's someone from Germany here, please talk to him. So they brought me in contact with a scientist from Germany who had a leading role to play in the Max Planck Institute. Those of you who know the science of physics know that Max Planck was a colleague of Albert Einstein. He was really a high-ranking scientist, and there are institutes which he formed. And my person, my contact was working in one of these institutes. And he was clearly on what we call the mental platform. Oh, he said, I don't know how I got here. There are no proper hotels in Vrindavan. But somehow I got here. And can you just show me something of Vrindavan? So I said, yes, with pleasure. And I decided to use the atom bomb of preaching. I took him smilingly to Keshi Ghat, and then I said, here's the sacred river Jamuna. Let us take a bath. He said, oh no, I will not take a bath in this river. I know when I enter there, all the chemicals which are drifting there, they will eat up my hands and my limbs, and I will suffer from intolerable diseases like diarrhea. I said, watch me taking the bath. So I put my things to the side, put on a gamsha, and I took some drips of water on the of the Yamuna on my head. Then I looked at him, and I took a handful of Yamuna water, bringing it to my mouth. And said, he was, don't drink, you will die. And I touched it with my lips and smeared it over my head and said, I'm still alive. Then the bath came and he watched me with wide open eyes, ready to call the ambulance. And I came out. It was a very blissful bath, really wonderful. And I said, so, what was this all about? I wanted to show you, by giving you a memory that you will hold in your mind for a long time, that for the faithful person, the experience of Vrindavan is one thing, and for the person who is not yet convinced about spiritual matters, it's something else. I invite you to make an experiment. There are two positions. There is God, there is no God. When you take the position there is no God, you will live a life in that circle, in that understanding. When you take the position there is a God, there is Krishna, there is holy river, you take a very live a very happy life, like you can see the people here in Vrindavan. And I want to say to you, on the things which are beyond your understandings, does anyone really understand quantum physics? Albert Einstein said, or no, Max Planck, I remember. Max Planck said, anyone who claims to understand quantum physics does not understand it. It's so beyond the intuitive understanding of reality, and also still beyond the scientific understanding of reality. So why don't you invest in this position? There is God, have a faithful, blissful life, and maybe you will be convinced that there is a God. He said, Mr. Monk, I take your point. Then I brought him to some other places which were digestible for him. Radharaman temple, very elegant. We parted ways, and 4 months later, both of us were back in Germany, I received a letter of my science friend. His first name was Carsten, the last name I don't know any longer. And he said, I have not forgotten what you wanted to show me. My sister had died two weeks ago. And after this I was grieving, and I was in my bed one night, and my sister came. And my sister said, you fool, Look at me, I'm here. I've died, but I'm continuing on. And I want to tell you, there definitely is a God by whose mercy I'm continuing on in my life. So I'm shaken. I write these lines to you to give pleasure to your heart. Please know that what you did, what Vrindavan did to me, was very useful for my spiritual awakening. I will definitely now start to read. Can you please recommend a title to me? And I sent him a book, which I always send to new people, The Science of Self-Realization, where Srila Prabhupada gives a very gentle entry into the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So my point is here, Vrindavan Dham acts in two ways. For the one who is faithful in Krishna Katha, and it increases. But even if you are newer to all of this, and it is still quite challenging at times, it acts on your heart, and it will give you the realizations which are important for you to take your next steps in Krishna consciousness. Having said this, I want to first deal with the devotees of Krishna, how they experience the Govardhan Leela. Then I want to go to Indra and explain how he experienced the Govardhan Leela. And I think it will be quite interesting. So we remembered, we left off when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. Remember, he went to the southern part of the Govardhan Hill, the southern edge, and from there a tunnel manifested. He went right under, and he then started to carry Govardhan. Here he is. The mountain you have to see with the eyes with the eyes of your mind. And he called out, "Come, mother, come, father, come, elders, oh venerable elders, please tell everyone, the mountain is up as your protective umbrella. It will be your umbrella. Come, everyone." And everyone followed the order of the Lord and went towards Govardhan. But when they saw Krishna lifting the hill, they couldn't imagine to enter under. It was too it seemed to be a shaky situation for them. In fact, Mother Yashoda stopped everyone from entering. She called out, "Can't you see, my little boy, who does not know his own limits, will not be able to hold the mountain?" So when Krishna saw his mother sabotaging his leela, he was slightly irritated, like a boy who doesn't like that the mother always bemothers him. And he called out to everyone, "Don't listen to my mother, who is simply afraid that Giriraj will slip from my hands. Come immediately, it is very safe." Later he used to say that Giriraj has become, you know, there was a question, how can he lift this hill? And Krishna said in his joking way, he flies. We all have seen he is a devata who was eating all our preparations with thousands of hands. he can perform miracles, we all have seen. So he easily flies in the air. At this moment, Srimati Radharani turned to Vishakha. And she said, "Oh, Vishakha, my dear Vishakha, look how Krishna puts his right hand on his hip, and he has such a bright smile. Even by holding this huge hill, the brother of mountain Mandara and son of Drona, Giriraj, he's just smiling. The bumblebee of his glance touches my heart and causes it to tremble like a flower who is moved by the bumblebee." So at the moment when Radha looked at Krishna, Krishna exchanged glances with her, Krishna's hand began to tremble. By now everyone was under the hill and they all noticed that the mountain became shaky, just like Yashoda had predicted. And Syamala, another gopi, came to Radha and whispered in her ears, "Don't look at Syam Sunda. You're disturbing his weightlifting activity. The weight is lifting, is trembling. Can't you see that you cause serious difficulties with your very eyes?" You know, this went on. There were many loving discussions like this going on. Why did Krishna? This question needs to be addressed right now. Why did Krishna choose to protect the Brajbasis by lifting a Govardhan hill? He could just have sent his Sudarshan Chakra, which would have dispelled all the clouds and the rainstorm. He could have done so many things. He could have thrown a rope, which he carries to bind the cows, extended it and put it around the neck of Indra and just pulled him down and punished him. There were many, many things, and I don't want to bore you with creative solutions to the problem. There are thousands of other ways to protect the Brajbasis. Why did he hold the Govardhan hill, and why for 7 days? Could he not have ended Indra's vicious attack with the rain and so earlier? Well, he had one thing in his mind. He understood that every day most of his devotees became very sad when he left the village of Vrindavan. Only the cows, first the calves, then later the cows, and then at all times the cowherd boys were with him. But he left the village of Vrindavan every day. You know, the devotees felt so much of separation from Krishna that they fainted from misery. If you see Krishna once, you will never forget him. But these devotees lived in the same village with Krishna. But then when Krishna disappeared, went out of the town's gate into the forest, they suffered, what is the word? Excruciating pain. It was tormenting their hearts. They fell over each other. Yashoda cried helplessly. Nanda Maharaj lost his temper. You know, Krishna is so attractive that the cowherd boys who walked with Krishna through the forest, they're so irritated when they only saw Krishna, did not see Krishna for a millisecond. That was the time when he passed by a tree and they only saw the tree and not Krishna. Then Krishna came fortunately into their view again when he had passed the tree. My dear devotees, Krishna's attractiveness is very, very, very great. Great saints have left the world. Rich men and kings have left everything behind just to be more, welcome Krishna in the core of their heart. It is the greatest project. Many Hare Krishna devotees have left untold riches because they could feel even at a new stage in their life the attractiveness of Lord Krishna, so that they left the world behind with all their comforts. Some of them come from very rich families and had been placed in very high positions. But they could understand, no, this is much better, Krishna. Both sadhakas and siddhas, that is, practitioners and perfected, have responded to Krishna's attractiveness. And therefore, let us now go under the Govardhan Hill a little bit. No, I have not explained the point. So Krishna knew every morning most of the residents of Vrindavan thought, I wish I could be with Krishna all day long, but he leaves for the forest. So Krishna had taken note of that desire, and therefore he thought, what if we are together for 7 days and seven nights? That would be wonderful. So it is for this reason, the second reason, that he lifted the Govardhan Hill. For some, this is the prime reason, because they understand he could have finished finished Indra very easy. He could have finished the whole thing very quickly, but he delayed treating Indra in a very special way, and we will hear this in a after some time. He delayed dealing quickly with the problem because he wanted to respond to the desires of his devotees to be with him. So how did he do it, and what went on under this hill? There is a verse which appears in a collection of verses by Rupa Goswami, Padyavali. It's verse 265 for those souls who like to read it again. It explains how Krishna realized his plan to exchange love with his devotees. Here is the verse for you. Satrashati Yashodaya Priyaguna Pritekshanam Radaya. Oh, I just noticed not everyone, including me, understands Sanskrit, so I will immediately go to the English. When Krishna was holding up Govardhan, Yashoda looked at her son with a mixture of fear and great distress. Fear that the mountain would fall down from her Kanaya's small hand. Such a huge mountain, such a small hand. And mental distress from wondering how her weak little boy could hold up such a huge mountain. Yashoda must have seen that when a leaf fell down on Krishna's soft skin at left, some indentation, some discoloring of the skin. So soft her little boy was. Now he had to carry on his soft hand the hard mountain, and that gave her great distress. Now Radha was in a different relationship and therefore saw Krishna entirely different. Sri Radha beheld her beloved with eyes full of intense love. She could look at Krishna for 7 days and nights. Yes, when you see Krishna, you don't want to sleep. It's so too unnecessary. You're so energized. Even the old people who are dying, when they look at a picture of Krishna, they get energy. So what to speak of seeing Krishna with the eyes. And she just stared at him, even in front of all the elders who would have criticized her in any other situation. And she was just admiring his unlimited qualities. There were some very small cowherd boys, little, you call them in Braj language, shishu, it means very sweet little boy, like this, and they were naked, totally naked, no dress, just a little rope around their waist, and they looked at Krishna lifting the Govardhan hill, and with their little soft indistinct voices, they said, "We can have Krishna, we can have Krishna." And they took their sticks, little naked boys, and brought them up to hold the mountain, but it was too small. They were very small, it didn't reach. So they were standing there still wanting to help Krishna. Sri Nandaji now, this is the father, the king of Braj, he looked with a variety of emotions. One emotion was astonishment. I mean, this is 7 miles long, this mountain. How can a small boy hold this? Another emotion was, let me get this right here, fear. What if something happens to Krishna? And then there was great pride in his heart. He sometimes looked to the Vrajvasis, the others, and said, "Look how strong my boy is." He thought, "Krishna is my boy, my son." This is the fatherly Baba. I remember I was once very ashamed. I had finished a class. There were many people in the class in Hamburg. And then all of a sudden my father, from whom I took birth, got up. And I already knew what would come now. He said, first of all, he wanted to show that he also knows something. So he spoke about some law of physics. "Yes, we have talked many times. In physics, what you have said is about frequency is totally confirmed, blah, blah, blah." And then he said, "You are my son, and we have talked many, many times about it." I was like, oh, now the whole hall knows about a private family thing, and they know how my father likes to brag a little with this knowledge. Most probably that is also in his son. And, you know, sons always feel towards their parents, oh no. But the parents feel towards their son, when they talk before many people, "Wow, my son, and was very proud. So Nanda Maharaj also, he is the origin of the parental rasa. He felt wow, now everyone sees how supremely strong my boy is. He will make a very good cowherd. When he is a little older, very good cowherd. We don't need to be afraid trusting our cows to his care. He was wonderstruck. He thought, only Bhagavan can perform such a feat. I don't know how my little Lala could do it. The author, Sri Sonaka, pronounces a blessing. May that Sri Krishna, who easily held up Govardhan with his lotus hand, and at the same time was absorbed in playing his flute, protect you all. You might ask, well, Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hilda for flute playing. One needs two hands, no? Otherwise, a very limited range of melodies can be produced. That's in your case, not in Krishna's case. Krishna's flute plays even without Krishna blowing into the flute and moving his hands over the holes. When the wind comes into the flute, it produces extraordinary melodies on its own. It's a servant of Krishna who can make the impossible possible. The flute is a conscious living being. So in this way, you could see that underneath the mountain, there was a big festival of love going out. Jiva Goswami describes it in Gopal Champu like this. While outside there were great rainstorms, roaring wind, hard hail, you know, ice came down, thunder and dark clouds, which caused suffering. Inside, there was no rain. There were sweet voices. The rich Basis would talk to each other. See Krishna, see this aspect of Krishna. There were pleasant breezes. Krishna arranged that there were good air coming back and forth. There were attractive songs. They would sing. There were rays of light. And Krishna, with his remarkable beauty, produced extraordinary happiness. Yes, there was outside, there was going on one thing, and inside, there was going on something else. Let us go for a moment to the outside. As Indra was sending down these clouds, he observed from high up what was happening, and he redoubled his efforts, and he shouted like a maniac, soon you will all be dead. Indra became, but to make sure, he sent a scout to go down to tell him directly on site what was happening. And the scout came back and said, by eating your offerings, it seems to me that that mountain became very strong and stout. Yes, said Indra, I don't care so much about the mountain. What's with all the people, the animals? Aren't they already dead? The scout said, we didn't see any animals and people. They must have been burnt by your braja. Vraja. It's a thunderbolt. Indra, you know, he's a very intelligent being, felt a little doubt. What, you didn't see anyone dead? You didn't see anyone? Go again and tell me after looking very carefully. So the same scout returned, and this time he saw underneath the mountain a whole subterranean town, fields, pools, happy people. He saw Yashoda, who was telling Krishna, stop your flute playing for a moment and eat now. Even if you are now not hungry, you need to get some strength for this. And also, no one will eat here if you don't eat. And the hungry growling of their stomachs is drowning out the noise from the thunder outside. So she said, even if you are restless, you will maybe not eat. But if you don't eat, the people here will not eat. So eat something so that they can eat, and the stomach symphonies, or what is it called, stomach noises will start. So Krishna was listening. He gave his flute to Shubal and received from Mother Yashoda's hand some food, which he put while at the same time lifting it. So the scout saw all this. And when he saw the loving dealings of the Brijbasis with Krishna, he felt love arise in his heart. My dear devotees, let us stop here. If we don't yet feel love for Krishna like myself, then you have to study others who love Krishna. And you have to follow ultimately in their example. Jiva Goswami says, just by hearing about the loving dealings between the Brijbasis and Krishna, love comes in our heart. This is normal. We see a reflection of this in this world. I was always afraid of horses because they have such big feet, and when they kick, as a boy I thought, don't go close to a horse. Then I saw one of my best friends who had a horse, who said, let's come and see our horse. And the friend was dealing so lovingly with the horse, and the horse was dealing so lovingly with my friend. It was mutual love that I thought, wow, horses are lovable. And I got my own horse, Max, Maximilian, long name, but Max, because I developed a relationship to horses, which I had watched with a fearful attitude. I got a loving relationship to the horses by watching my friend dealing lovingly with the horse and getting loving emotions from the horse. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So you follow. So that's why we also need to hear about the devotees of Krishna, how they feel towards Krishna. And that will awaken something in our hearts, which have become so empty because of Kali Yuga. Yes. So the scout saw a totally different scene. He saw a loving scene, and by seeing it, he became attached, and he did not want to go back to see Indra. He was as you say in English, hanging around. He delayed his departure and just looked and looked from various perspectives and became very, very, very amazed and very loving towards the Lord. Finally, he returned to Indra and his ministers, and Indra said, "So, your report." The scout said, "I'm sorry for my news. O king, control your emotions, if possible. Inside, under the hill, Nanda and the people and a host of cows and calves and animals are enjoying a festival of bliss." Remember, Indra's attack was towards Krishna and his devotees. He got into a delirium. He started to throw one thunderbolt after another down. He screamed. It's a Vajra, Indra's lightning bolts. He screamed, and after a volley, it's called, you know, one after the other, he thought, now they are finally finished. Go again. So the scout came back. "Your thunderbolt did not have any effect. It didn't make a single leaf fall down from Giriraj. Nor did your thunderbolts create a problem to even a single ant. The animals have no problem. As for the people, they didn't even see your thunderbolts. They are tossed about in the ocean of love for their master. It seems the word suffering has no significance for the people of Vrindavan." Wonderful. So now Indra said, okay, they want it. I saved it. But now they are going to get it. And he picked the ultimate weapon, the thunderbolt or Vajra of Dadichi. Nothing can resist this thunderbolt. Only we have heard the power of the Lord, the power of Narayan. But as he was just throwing it, Krishna thought, 7 days and nights are over. We have had our loving pastimes. Everyone has seen. He decided to end the nonsense of Indra for good. First, he paralyzed Indra's arm so that Indra couldn't move his arm. Still, the thunderbolt escaped his hand. Then Krishna paralyzed Dadichi's thunderbolt, which stood in midair. Then Krishna disassembled all the clouds. He froze the presiding deities. And then Indra began to wake up. This is very important. Indra saw he was powerless. Indra saw, this is my master who has corrected me. He has not killed me, although he should have, but he is the Lord of sweetness. He has only stopped me. And he became repentant. At that moment came a servant of Kamsa. He was a yaksha. And he said, Kamsa sends news. He has heard how you had attacked Vrindavan. He has heard how you attacked his arch enemy Krishna. He's very proud of you. He very much likes you. He wants to make a good allegiance with you. And Indra said, oh no! The demons love me because I have become a demon. I have turned like the demons against Krishna. Oh no! Oh no! Fie upon me! And here, and Krishna noticed. And here a very important point comes. Krishna noted the sincere repentance of Indra. When Krishna sees a conditioned soul repenting his wayward ways, his, you know, being going away from Krishna, this feeling of repentance, oh, I did wrong, I made a mistake, I joined the side of Krishna's enemies. What now? What now? When Krishna sees this sincere repentance, he makes an arrangement. My dear devotees, for all of us, it is good if we can arrive at this spiritual place, being repentant for our foolish ways, being repentant of our envy, of our pride, of our materialistic attachments. It doesn't mean that you become super first class. No, no, you may still be attached. You may still be, but your heart is not in it any longer. And Krishna wants your bhakti, your devotion, more, and he became active. And what I will tell you now is directly from, I never knew about this. Much of this class I have to give, I listened to Indra Dumna Maharaj, and he told something where I started to take notes because I had not heard it. Krishna thought, what should I do now with Indra? He's repentant. How can I help him? He immediately forgave Indra. Krishna forced Indra into a trance in which he was freed from the mode of passion. Indra was no longer trembling with anger. And then he gave him a vision which is so divine that even the greatest yogis who meditate many thousands of years have not even an idea that there is this type of samadhi existing. Indra saw Krishna upon a thousand-petaled lotus. He saw him dressed as a cowherd boy, a small boy, ornamented with jewels and garlands. And Krishna had a firm grip on his flute, whom he loved his flute so much. And that vision of Krishna's bluish black form removed all the ignorance in Indra's heart. And by Krishna's mercy, he could remember a very special prayer that his own spiritual master Brihaspati had told him way back in the past. My dear devotees, and my dear skeptics, I'm addressing those who stumbled into this call. If you can look at Lord Krishna's form, the deity form, while you do devotional activities like chanting japa or kirtan, that transcendental form will act in the heart to remove the long-lasting ignorance. Looking at Krishna's form is very good. What you can do also is think a little bit of interior design. In other words, do some changes in your apartment. Have you seen when you look at Burijan's screen, Burijan Prabhu's screen, so many pictures are there and photos of Vrindavan and things which remind him of Vrindavan. So put some good photos, some good pictures up. This will act in removing your ignorance. This is a Udipan. So in this purified state, he could remember the things which he had forgotten. That prayer. This is a powerful prayer. It has been revealed by Krishna to Brahma. Brahma gave it to the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras gave it in Pushkara to Angira, and Angira gave it to Brihaspati. And when Indra was fighting his war against the Vritasura, you know that demon, Vrita means a circle, he encircled everything with his power, and he was losing the battle. Brihaspati had come to him and said, I give you a prayer. By the power of this prayer, you will be victorious. So it is said that a person who regularly recites this prayer will attain pure devotion and will become an associate of Lord Krishna in his next life. And in this life, now, he will be free from miseries. No fear of any panic. And panic here, what is it? Pandemic. No fear. He will be free from miseries of birth, death, old age, disease, and death. I'm reading. And even in his dreams, he will not see the god of death, Yamaraj, and he will also not see the servants of Yamaraj at the moment of death, because he will go to the abode of Krishna. Would you like to know this prayer? You are all muted, so you cannot say. I see, let me see. If you have an eager expression in your face, one needs to be very eager to receive the prayer, otherwise it will not work so much. It's an amazing prayer. It's very long, and I personally believe based on the Skanda Purana, that all the benefits which you can get from austerities, from prayers, from studying Shastra, it can be obtained from chanting the holy name, because the Lord has given all his power into the holy name. So there is all the power you need in the holy name. So if you allow me, because of the short time, and if you, I will just summarize the prayer. In the beginning, Indra says he appears, the prayer says, the Lord Krishna appears in yoga after yoga, age after age, and in various forms. And who is that Lord who appears here in various forms? He is one Lord only. That is Lord Krishna, the son of Yashoda. And he describes something about Krishna. He has an artistic sound in his flute. It's extraordinary artistic. He has indescribable beauty. He is together with Srimati Radharani and other devotees for whom he is more dear than life. He has human-like pastimes in his original abode of Sri Vrindavan. And he does many, many things. In these pastimes, you sometimes comb, you know, Srimati Radharani's hair and put luck on her feet. You sometimes even chew the betel nuts that are already chewed by her. And sometimes you will sit with her in a secluded grove where you cannot be found. So he talks about these leelas. And then he says, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think you can also, I will say it very slowly so that you can enter the spirit of this prayer. O Supreme Personality of Godhead. O you who engage in a multitude of pastimes throughout eternity. I, your humble servant, offer my obeisances to you again and again and yet again. After he had ended the prayer, this vision which he received in the trance which Krishna gave him disappeared. He came out of his trance and embarrassed, he thought, Krishna is my master. He has appeared as a cowherd boy and holed up the mountain. No one can therefore harm Govardhan or the Brajavasis again. So filled with remorse and weighted down by hundreds of sorrows, he boarded his celestial airplane and he left Braj to go back to his abode. Later he had many thoughts about what had happened. He came to Krishna, taking his permission. My dear devotees, I have called this Life Lessons of the Govardhan Leela. Where can the devotees find this prayer? I will send it to Prashanta, and Prashanta will put it on the Vrindavan. I suggest I can send it to Prashanta, this prayer. No? Type it and send it to Prashanta. So, it comes from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. It is known to me only in the English language, but I know that Krishna speaks English. I've heard he speaks all languages. So what do I wish to take out of this as a life lesson? There are two beings. The infallible and the fallible. Those who are with Krishna as his associates are infallible, and they have a rasa, a direct loving relationship. And everyone here in this world, without any exception, may he be Brahma or an ant. Well, there are exceptions. There are these great, great souls who are beyond ignorance. But dear, they are very few. So everyone else is a fallible living entity who can fall under the influence of the modes of nature and so on. Indra gives us a good example about someone who is... He knew Krishna. Whew. He knew. Whew. Indra is also a devotee, but he became covered for a moment. And he gives us an example of a very important tool. A tiny little implement, if you so want, that is given to us human beings in this world. It is this little tool that which can bring us to a place where ordinarily we are denied access. Simple English. By this one tool which Krishna has given us, we can go to a place where we cannot go on our own. This simple implement is prayer. Through prayers, you can be transported to a place where you just cannot go on your own. Because Krishna listens to prayers. I like you to imagine a scene in the dusk. Now it becomes a little intense. You go through a forest. Darkness settles in. All of a sudden you hear from inside the forest a scream. I won't do it. Help! And it reaches your ear. Imagine another scene. Someone goes through the town. Again, darkness comes. And as he goes into a lonely street, he hears screaming. I won't do it. Fire! One word. Help or fire. What will you do? If you go through the forest and you hear this, if you are a brave person, you will run into the forest. You will pick up a stick as you are running because you know it's time to remember what you've learned in your Kung Fu lessons. If you are not a brave person, you will immediately turn around. You will run to the next... normally people have telephone. You will phone the police. You will say, I heard someone screaming and come. And so on. You will change everything when you hear this one simple word. When you walk through the town and darkness comes and you hear this one single word, fire, you will also do everything you can according to how you are. You will run into the apartment and see if you can enter the bathroom still and put all the water up and then flood the apartment and take a bucket and throw. Or if you are not such an active person, you will go also and call the fire brigade. No, you will act. One word. Not a lot of philosophy to convince you. One single word changes everything. Why? Because this word has a quality to it, a very particular quality. It's chanted with 100% conviction, chanted or called out. In old English language, this word has heights, depths, length, and breadth. Heights, and this is how you need to chant. You need to chant with heights, length, depths, and breadth. What do I mean with this? Heights refers when you pray or you chant. Pray on your, with all your capacities, on full, you know, all your capabilities, all your personality is fully on the high heights of your emotion, your presence. You are on your heights. You are on top of this. Depths refers when you chant or pray. Put the depths of your knowledge into it, your depths of your understanding. I am a soul. I'm not the body here. And Krishna is my only Lord, is the only Lord. Put the length, chant with length. It means you will not stop until the Lord comes. Or at least his help arrives, you know, some clarity, some devotees. No? You know, when someone is in an emergency situation in the forest and screams help, he will not stop until help comes. If someone is trapped in an apartment and there is blazing fire, he will keep on trying to communicate to the outside world by phone or by calling out of the window or just screaming in terror of fire until the help comes. And breath means when you chant and when you pray, look left and right. So many spiritualists suffer because, as Dadu said, they are the worst of the fish. They are selfish. Do you remember Burijan quoted Dadu? Dadu, very humble Vaishnav, he said, I'm the worst fish. I'm selfish. In spiritual life, if you remain selfish and you don't think of the breath, then it is very difficult to make advancement. So remember, with all your might, chant, don't hold back, pray, don't hold back. Chant with depths, or pray with depths, with all that you know and believe. Chant or pray with length, long enough until the answer comes. And finally, chant with bandwidth or breath. It's with a D, not breath, like, but breath. I can only speak like a child, the English language. Think of others' welfare as well. Pray for them as well. Avoid self-centeredness. Hare Krishna. So, now let me look at the time. Oops, where are we? What? I'm exactly in time, I hear. So I will go to the questions. From Vaijajanti Devidasi, Germany. Wow. Indra could not see the signs and could not understand the message of his spies. It often happens to us that we also cannot see the signs sent by Krishna. What can help us become more sensitive to Krishna's signs? I know you are a deep devotee, so I have to really come up with an answer. When you do not react to signs, the normal thing that happens is you enter into a space where you are suffering. Someone who is not willing to change, because first of all he cannot understand that he should change, and then he cannot read the signs that tell him change. You know, people telling him, I think something is wrong. His health telling him, oh my God, I'm always sick. Is that the mind and the body are closely related? Could there be a relationship? Is there something which I should be changing? So if you cannot see the sign, you will most probably go into a miserable state of life. You will develop also a material perspective, most properly, or you will just suffer. Let us stay with suffering. That is how the universe teaches us human beings, or how the laws of karma, that is laws of the universe, no? By which the universe function, they teach us. So, at that time you should see, I don't want to go on as a miserable person. I must find out what I'm doing wrong. And really, the only way I have found is to ask devotees around you. Usually the devotees who can see these things, they have made the experience, if you tell someone what they cannot see, that someone begins to attack back. Ah, you misunderstood me. This is usually the reaction. So devotees who can see will usually start by saying, what do you think? What do you feel? How would you answer the question? That's tactical preaching. But if you really want to know, you will have to prove those who are little up, so that they are not afraid of you by telling you where your blind spots are. This is very heavy for a conditioned soul. To understand his or her blind spot is, some devotees with whom I have spoken about this have said, we don't tell the devotees any longer because we suffered so much from this telling. So you will have to convince devotees that you are ready to hear. But also devotees don't see everything, you know. Sometimes Krishna withholds the information and we have to go on a little bit more pressure until we finally say enough is enough. The Sanskrit scripture Sharika scripture says most conditioned souls turn to Krishna because of suffering. Unless they are suffering, they don't turn to Krishna. So when you don't follow let us be now very positive. To read the signs which are there for you, ask devotees, pray to Krishna, please show me in a way that I can understand and see What needs to be changed? And Krishna answers if he sees you bring this one element of repenting your way. If you're asking in a repentful way, I've ignored the signs, or I have not done what I should do, oh Krishna, it's really bad. Then Krishna usually answers, like Indra first needed to come to the repentant state, then he was put into this trance where he could see everything. That is my answer. But we can speak when we meet next. I know you. I know who you are. So, what? Gokrishna is there. He asks how long. Well, I think I went. I have taken a lot of time. I have taken 1 hour 30 minutes. Right. So, my dear devotees, if you, there are many more questions, I see. We have to respect the time limits because our next presentation is coming there, and devotees might have they have their time limits, and I really want all of us to look at the presentation of Jagatarini Mataji. So, just in closing, I wish to say, if there are questions, there, Bhujan Prabhu and myself will be available tomorrow for questions and answers, and it will be really interactive. So please bring your questions and answers, you know, send them in to Prashanta, and we will have them. We will try to answer them as good as we can. It's not always easy when you don't see the person, but we will pray that the right words come from us. I mean, Bhurijan Prabhu always knows the right. He is the vice Bhurijan, but I will pray. Good. Let us now end this call and go to Jagatarini. Prashanta, are you there? Do you hear me?
Oh yes, Maharaj, very well. We are hearing you.
Good. So please bring us to the next session of the Govardhana Retreat.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you. Thank you so much.